No, all right. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, like I said, we'll continue our study in Ephesians. It will be in verse 15 through 17 this morning. The title here is A Description of a Wise Walk. Now, I didn't really know this, but there's technically a right way and a wrong way to walk. The right way to walk, and I looked up some tips. Here's some tips on how to walk correctly. Keep your head up, because that's a pretty good no-brainer. And it says, lengthen your back. Avoid sloshing or humping or leaning forward. Keep your shoulders back and down. Engage your core. Swing your arm and step from heel to toe, okay? Now, I'm not sure what all that means, but I think if I did all that, I couldn't walk. And then it says what not to do. It says don't look down. Don't take very long strides. Now, anyone like me, I'm pretty short, but if you're ever at a ball game doing the stadium steps, you ever do two steps at a time? I know that's what I do. I try to get up as fast as I can. And it says not to do that, okay? Don't take long strides. Don't walk in the wrong shoes, okay? And the list goes on and on of how you on to walk, okay? But now I'm gonna give you one fundamental rule. Number one, and you need to apply this every day, 24/7 if you're walking. Doesn't matter if you're walking in the house, outside, in the woods. The one thing you need to do is you need to look where you're going. Agreed? Okay, pretty simple. I learned this the hard way about 14. At 14, we were camping out by a creek in a pasture, and we were playing hide-and-seek. And I don't really understand the rule. One guy was on a four-wheeler. He was a guy looking for us, and all of us were hiding, were on foot. It was dark outside, we were in the woods, there was like a river, and I still don't necessarily know the rules of the game. All I know, when we saw headlights, heard a motor, we took off running. And some of us in a group, some of us by themselves, and sure enough, we were hiding, and we heard the four-wheeler coming, and I took off running, but I didn't look where I was going, and a fallen tree clotheslined me. I mean, knocked me all the way off my feet, on my back, and the bad thing, the guy behind me did the same thing. So I think he was a little dumber than me, right? You know, I mean, he should have saw me, right? But anyway. But you know what I learned? What I learned is, you always look where you're going when you're walking. Or running. Walking is used very often in the Bible. It is used many times here in Ephesians. And in our text here, you'll see in verse 15, it says, see then that you walk. Okay? Well, this is the fifth time that the word walk has been used. It was used in chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, you walk worthy. It's used in verse 17 in chapter 4, it says, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Then in chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love. Then in verse 8, it says, walk as children of the light. And then we get here in verse 15, it says, so see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. When you see the word walk many times in news about how one behaves or conducts himself. So far as Paul has taught the believers that they are to walk worthy, humbly, in unity, they are to walk separated from the world, they're to walk in love, they're to walk in light, and now today, we're going to see that we are to walk in wisdom. Now, that's not really hard to see, because in verse 15 it said, not as fools, but as wise. But then it said here, in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise. So, basically when we talk about living wise, in a biblical sense, it's about prudent living. The word wise, it describes how somebody who walks and acts sensibly and virtuously is a person who recognizes what is good and right and applies that to every day. So it's easily a wise person, somebody who recognizes what's good and wrong and bad and from the Word of God and says, I'm going to do that each and every day. That's really what a wise person should do. We should walk wise. The problem is a lot of times we know we should walk wise, but we don't. So in this passage, I believe Paul gives three truths that I want to share with you today that will help us know if we're walking wise. It gives a description of a wise walk. Number one, a wise walk is an accurate walk. Let's pray and we'll get into this. Father, I ask you to be with us for the next few minutes. Lord, I know that, like I shared with the guys back before church started about praying, and we were praying about people, and I know people are here, and they've got heavy hearts, they've got things on their mind, Lord, that some things are trouble, some things are good things. But Lord, I ask you for the next few minutes, Father, that we'll put all that aside, and Lord, we'll just look at what your word says, and try to understand it together with your help, Holy Spirit, and Lord, help us to learn and to apply when we can truly be wise, Lord. I think sometimes we think we're wise, but Lord, sometimes I don't think we're as wise as we think we are. And Lord, I ask you to help us today to do that in Christ's name. Amen. The first thing here in the scripture of a wise walk, in the wise walk is an accurate walk. In verse 15, it says here, it said, see then that you walk circumspectly. Letter A here, go ahead and put this up here, is that we are to be careful. Okay, now we're going to build on this, or stay with me. But we are to be careful, and that's definitely what that word means, circumspectly. And does, there's no doubt, and I'm getting somewhere, there's kind of two meanings here, or two ideas here. And there's no doubt that it means to be careful, okay? You know, the word does mean to be looking, to be engaged, okay? And to be understood and looking carefully then how you walk, okay? So when you see that, no doubt Paul is saying that you ought to look carefully how you walk. You should be engaged. And I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid we got a lot of Christians who they're not really careful. They're not sober-minded. They really don't care. We'll get to that here in a minute. But the idea is that it's pretty simple, in that if you are walking physically, you have to be looking. Okay, if you're not looking, you're probably going to make a mistake. And I've shared this before. I know I did, but I want to share it again. I love taking people who don't live here, like my family. I like to take them to Table Rock, North Carolina. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, for me, it's one of the favorite. I didn't hike before I moved up here. Okay? I thought hiking was stupid, to be honest with you. Okay, now I do a little bit of it. I didn't like it, but I got to have a destination. So, you know, it's not that bad. It's about a mile hike if you drive all the way up to the top and hike. And so I like taking people there. I took my mom and I took my aunt, you know, and there are no spring chickens, okay? So, you know, and I was making fun of them about that, you know. A movie I watched with an old dog. I've told this whole story already. But the guy said, the dog wants to go with him. And the old cowboy said, the dog's got the heart, but ain't got the legs. And I was saying that. I was making fun of my mom and my aunt saying, y'all got the heart, but you ain't got the legs, and I'm not paying attention, and I step off the trail. And I fall. I mean, I'm called pride going for a fall, right? So, but here's why I fell. Because I wasn't looking where I was going. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't being careful. And the thing is, what's so frustrating, and you see this in my life as Christian, we're just walking around thinking that the devil's not out there. We're walking around thinking that our flesh is not weak. We're walking around thinking that the world, temptations are not that strong, but they are. And we have to be aware of that, and we have to be careful. And that is one of the things he's saying, is that to be wise, you have to walk circumspectly. You have to be careful about what you're doing, about what you're watching, about where you're going, who you're hanging out with. You know, all these things, we have to be careful. We have to be engaged. Or otherwise, you're going to fall. You have to be aware. You have to pay attention spiritually. That's what we're talking about. Pay attention spiritually. But here's a question. Do you care? See, that's the problem is, a lot of times when you say, you need to pay attention, you need to look, you need to be on guard, I think that goes over a lot of Christians' heads because, do you even care? Because, I got something real profound here, you ready? It's hard to be careful if you don't care. The problem is that I see people, and I mean, I am a pastor, and I'm not trying to judge or think I'm no better than you at all, but I see people who make these mistakes and do this and that, and I'm thinking, they are not being careful. Why? And the only conclusion I can come to is, spiritually, we just don't care. I mean, I see this, go back to the hiking, you know, they'll have rules. Hiking places, you know, don't leave track, don't hike anywhere where there's not a trail. But people disregard that all the time. Why? Because at the end of the day, they don't care. They don't care. Same thing, spiritually speaking, is that a lot of people, they're not going to be on guard, as Peter said, be vigilant, be sober, because they don't care. They don't care. And I have to ask you, do you care? To be careful, to be on guard, you're going to have to care about your spiritual well-being. And Paul tells us, walk circumspectly. That does mean the ideal of alert. It means the ideal of looking around, giving attention to all circumstances and consequences, as one might do when passing through a very dangerous place. See, the problem is, spiritually speaking, we think that we're walking on a paved road that's got no bumps. But in life, spiritually speaking, the road you're on is like a treacherous mountain, and you can slip and fall, but then we're just running around like we don't care. We don't care. But the Bible says we should be looking. We should be not paranoid, but we should be concerned about anything and everything that comes into how the habits we're doing and forming and what the impact it had on your life, spiritually speaking. You should care. You should be alone. You should be asking, hey, if I'm going to skip church, how's that going to impact my life spiritually? Hey, how's that going to impact my life, my kids' life spiritually? You know, that's the thing. I mean, every week I can probably put around 10 people who don't come to church. And I never want to say this, because sometimes people who are not here this Sunday have valid reasons. And I'm not hating on anybody that's not here today. So don't get me wrong. But why? But when I see a habit, by the way, it's becoming a habit throughout the whole church. Yet we just miss church for any reason. But let me ask you, now there's more to life, Christian life, than church. But do you ever say, hey, in this habit, how is it going to affect me spiritually? Because by the way, not me, I mean, not because of me, but I mean, we're standing here looking at the Word of God. The week you miss, maybe the week you need the most. I mean, I preach one week on discouragement, and there are people here who I wanted to be here that wasn't here. They miss, I mean, I think they miss a blessing, not because of me, because of the Word of God. I mean, because what, let me ask you, that whatever you're watching, whatever you're doing, the people you're hanging out with, do you ever ask, where is this going to lead spiritually? Where is this going to lead spiritually? But I don't think we do. For that, I mean, to be honest, the church, I don't think cares. Overall. To be careful, you have to care. You have to have a sober mind. You have to be looking at what you're doing, and you have to be asking yourself, is this going to be a good outcome spiritually now, or even later? And everything you do has an impact on you spiritually. And you need to take the necessary action. For some, it may be to repent. It may be to separate. It may be to start something that you're not doing. You have to be careful. You have to consider each step that you take, realizing that your action, your decision, determine your spiritual well-being. It does. Everything you do, every path you take, determine your spiritual well-being. But I think so many people don't worry about it because the general attitude of most Christians in America is, we don't care about our spiritual health. We care about a lot of things. We care about entertainment. We care about having fun. We care about making money. We care about work. We care about this and that. We care about having, you know, vacations. We care because they're only on a calendar. We've only got it planned out, probably got the summer planned out already. And there's nothing wrong with that in itself, but here's the thing. Do you care about your spiritual health? See, to be wise, we have to be careful. But let it be here, we're going to add to this. A wise walk is to be an accurate walk. Let it be here, we ought to be consistent, okay? Now, get where this word kind of takes on a different meaning as you start studying the word circumspectively, okay? And I know I'm not saying it right, but we're going to have to go with it. It means more than just careful. Okay, when you start studying, it does. When you read the definition, if you take a program that's got Greek definition, you click on that word, and the Greek word comes up, it's gonna give you this accurately, carefully, paying close attention. The Greek word express is the idea of living in strict conformity to a standard. So what's our standard? The Word of God, living like God wants to, and guarding against anything that would be improper or unbecoming to a Christian. So it came on the idea of not just watch where you're stepping in case you fall, but also the idea of watch where you're stepping because of who you are. You are now, if you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are supposed to walk in the Spirit. So now you're supposed to get up and say, not so much, I need to make sure I step in the right place so I don't get hurt. And also, I need to walk in a certain way because I'm holy. Get it? So he takes the idea and we're supposed to consistently reflect on the outside what's on the inside. Wiest, which is what I mentioned the word studies, he said, be constantly taking heed how accurately you are conducting yourself. That is seed that to it, that your conduct is accurate when to respect to the demand of the Word of God. So what he's saying there is that make sure that your life is accurate with the Word of God. Okay? In other words, we are to live like people that we are. In Christ, we are one. We are separated. We are love. We are light. And we are wise. And we should correspond that in how we walk. We ought to be paying close attention that we are consistently giving an accurate testimony of what's on the inside. See, the first one's about you, the second one's about others. We ought to be walking every day, so it is a dangerous world. We need to make sure we don't fall and hurt, but we also are supposed to walk the correct path and be consistent because that's what's on the inside. That's what's on the inside and people are watching. You're supposed to reflect on the outside. What's on the inside. Never be consistent. Our walk should be accurate walk, and it should claim what's on the inside. And we're children of the light, we want to accurately display that in our day-to-day walk. It needs to be consistent. And by the way, if it's not consistent, it's not accurate. Right? Now, I'm not a big hunter, but I grew up in Alabama, and I did used to deer hunt some. Deer rifles, you know, big deal. And I don't know a lot about shooting, and I may not say all the terms correct, but if someone says, how accurate is that gun? Basically like a high-powered rifle, you know, a .30-06, .308, something like that. And then we say something like, well, it shoots a half-inch group. Or it shoots a three-quarter-inch group, okay? You know, something like that. Well, what that mean, it can mean different things depending on the gun, but like a hunting rifle, a lot of times, something to the nature of, you took a gun and you got about 100 yards. You shot 3-5 times. And in that 3-5 time, you're all grouped in to about a half inch. Okay? Well, that means that's a pretty accurate gun because it hit where it needed to, but it did it over and over. It was consistent. See, if you take a gun and you sit down and you shoot it and you may hit the bullseye, but the next three shots, if one's here, and one's here, it's not an accurate gun. Standing true and walking wide. It's one thing. It's one thing to show up for church once a month. It's one thing to do what's right every now and then. But that's not wise walking because it's not consistent. It's not accurate. See, a wise walk is an accurate walk. It's a walk that consistently walks with God each and every day. the why. See, Paul, we think that we can pick and choose when we want to be wise. No, you're not. A wise walk is an accurate walk. For you to be accurate, you're going to have to consistently care about living on the outside what it's supposed to be on the inside. And my friend, that is someone who is walking wise. Let me ask you, how accurate is your walk? Oh, I know on Sunday it's all accurate. You put on your clothes, and come to church, and you got your Bible. But how accurate is it on Monday? Everybody lives for God on Sunday. But are you living for God on Monday? Are you living for God on Tuesday? How accurate, how consistent are you walking wisely at work and at home when you're alone? See, a wise walk is an accurate walk. A wise walk, secondly, is an active walk. Number two is a wise walk is an active walk. Look at verse 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we need to be busy. We need now is the time to repent. Right now, you've got sin in your life. Today is the day that you should repent of that sin. Now is the time to be the spiritual leader in your home. Now is the time to lead your kin down a different road than maybe you were on. You realize what a generation can do, spiritually speaking? My dad is one of three brothers. They had some Christianity there, here and there, but mom, I know dad, my granddad was a drunk. My dad got married, got saved, and he changed. And Willow's back there, and she's going to be raised up in a Christian home because of the man who said, now is the time for me to get right with God, and now is the time for me to live for God. And I'm going to be active in that. Oh, what you can do, just that alone can change. Can change how your generation, your family, later on down the road. Here's the problem. I think we're more concerned about our family down the road having mansions and cars and money than we do about a spiritual heritage. Now's the time to start reading your Bible. Not tomorrow. See, you say, why? Well, here's why. Here's why we need to get active now. Letter A. Our time is short. Our time is short. The definition of redeeming means to buy up. It means to make the most of. The word time here is not a clock, tick-tock, that's continuous. This word time here, if you start studying out, it means season. It means a limited time. Just like there's a certain time that you plant tomatoes, and the time you don't plant tomatoes. There's a certain set time, and you say your life is a set time. Your life is a set time, and you don't have but so much time allotted for you, and you and I are to make the most of our time. Now, in the context, what does that mean? It means living for God. It means make the most of living for God. We want to take a full advantage of every opportunity to shun sin and to follow righteousness. Each day, we're going to get up and say, okay, I'm going to make the most of my opportunity to live for God. That's what we say. I'm going to make the most of my opportunity to live for God because we don't have a lot of time. A wise walk is someone who's actively making the most of their time for God. Here's the problem. We have a lot of inactive Christians. You get convicted, but you don't change. You say, next Sunday I'll change, or later I'll do better. When I'm not so busy, I'll do this and I'll do that. The problem is that you think you have plenty of time, but you don't. You don't. You don't. You don't have plenty of time. You're not promised tomorrow. And in the past, I just start saying that people die at all ages. All ages. We're not all promised to live to be 80 or 90. But I used to start from when I was a kid, start naming people who just died that I just know, not without doing any research, I can probably come up with a list of 20. Parents, you don't have time to start walking with God later. You need to be actively living for God today. Because before you know it, your kid will be grown and they'll be following your footsteps. You know, we've got a few here, because I've talked to some earlier about camp. And, you know, if your kid is, you know, basically 12 or 13, you got 5 years left. Essentially, you got 5 years left. 5 years. To impact them. 5 years. That's not a long time, is it? 5 years. What are you doing? See, you'll say, if you keep saying, I'll do it later, then in 5 years, they'll be grown, and they'll be experiencing what they're probably, statistically speaking, they're going to be what they are. Now, it's never too late. It's never too late, but you have certain years to mold your children, and now's the time. Now's the time. Hey, kids, now it's time for you to decide to follow God. Before you know it, you'll be grown, and you'll be making a decision. Now's the time. You say, I'll do it later. No, now's the time. Now is the time to get active for living for God. A wise walk, you ready for this? Is a walk that actually happens. It actually happens. A wise walk is a walk that says, hey, we're going to follow God today. A wise walk is the one that says, I'm going to read my Bible today, not tomorrow. A wise walk is the walk that says, I'm going to get the sin out of my life today, not tomorrow. A wise walk says, today and every day of this week, for 52 weeks, I am going to serve the Lord. That's a wise walk. Because you realize that time is short. You know, having a baby has really sobered me up. And up in the fact that now, all Jesus got to be over. But I am now spiritually responsible for the well-being of someone else. And by the way, if you're a father, I do not remember. I wish I looked it up. I was in a book I read. I don't know if it was by Vody Bachum or by Stuart Weber, I think is his name. I can't remember which book. One's called Tender Warrior, and another one's called Family Faith and something. But it made us a statistic that said that if mama goes to church and mama's right with God, then the kids have like a 20% chance of getting saved. But if dad follows God, it's like 80%. See, Willow isn't going to do that well spiritually if all I have is good intentions. Or if I said, I wish I'd have done better, that won't cut good intention. And saying, I wish I'd done better, or I'll do it later, not going to cut it. And by the way, you will reap the consequences of that. If I, as a father, and live as a mother, say, you know, we're just going to do it later, we'll get serious about serving God, then Willow has a good, I mean, anything can happen, but there's a good chance that Willow won't be what she needs to be spiritually either. See, our time is short. Now, today is the time. No matter, it may be something in your life you need to get rid of now today, because time's short. But not only that, and not let her be here, and our world is sinful. Look at the rest of that verse. Verse 16, redeeming the time. Time's short. Because the days are evil. And he said, get to work. Make the most of it. Because time is short. But also this, our world is sinful. You know who don't take we take days off for a day or some time of walking with God. But you know who don't take a day off? Satan. Hey, parent, you can take a day off spiritually. That's fine. But guess what? The devil isn't. The devil isn't. Somebody's going to win. The devil's at work. The days are evil. The evil is that, and what's the enemy? It's not just that. It's not like this, but the Lord, oh, this is bad. No, it's the letters of the definition. Evil here and evil in active opposition to good. So it's not a static evil. It's very active. It's at work right now. It's at work. It's at work right now. That's how he said that days are evil. You need to be walking wide because the world is after you. It's after your spouse. It's after your kids. It's after you. We need to be sober-minded. As Peter said, the devil is like a lion roaring, trying to devour. And here's the thing, he's devouring a lot of our, especially our kids. in churches, most of them are being devoured as soon as they get out of high school. And I blame it, because guess what? You know the only person that's going to, you know how kids will be godly? If mom and dad's godly. That's it. Biblical parents raise biblical kids. Or godly parents raise godly kids. I worked at a church of about 700. They had a monster youth group, a good youth group. But you know, even with a youth group, you know what the kids that are living for God now? And many of my cousins talk about he was a youth pastor for many years. And the one that mom and dad lived at home as well. Not the one that dropped them off at church. Not the one who threw them at camp. And all them things are good. And the one who said, we're going to be the leaders. We're going to actually live for God today. That's the one that will live. By the way, that's biblical. Your church is not supposed to raise your kid. You need to be the primary spiritual influence in your kid's life. The world acts with them. And by the way, the world will promise, but the world will punish. Our walk, living the truth, is so necessary. Because there is so much in our world, people, philosophy, practices, and promised pleasure that will deceive and destroy you. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your kin. It'll destroy your peace. Because it's out there working. It's out there working. And you need to be on guard. You need to be actively walking with God. An active walk is a walk that happens today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. And excuses have to stop. You don't have much time. Parent, it's now time for you to sell out to God. Your kids need it. Now is the time for you to speak up and share the gospel. Your unsaved relatives need it. Now is the time for you to live the word of God. It's a wise walk. It's not, like I said, I didn't write it down, but last week I said, we got a lot of experts, but we don't have a lot of examples. Now is the time to be an example. Now is the time to get it out from your head to your hands and your feet. Now is the time to live it. We all walk, and you're not a wise person if all you do is know the word of God. You're only wise if you follow the word of God. A wise walk is an accurate walk, it's an active walk, and then number three is an acquiring walk. Number three, all walk, a wise walk is an acquiring walk. This means growing and changing as you go. Look at verse 17. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay, so let's first start at the first phrase. Letter A here is stop living your way. Okay? Sometimes we come to a church, or when you read your Bible, you got to learn, as you live life, you're going to have to stop doing some things. And you say, well, what do you get that at? Well, be ye not unwise. The verb there is a present imperative, which I don't know what that means really, not really, but it goes on to say this. It's a prohibition forbidding the continuance of something already going on. So the idea here, and these believers in context, they're being unwise. He's not saying don't be unwise later. He's saying stop being unwise now. And right now, same thing's true in all life. You, to be wise, you are probably going to have to, the rest of your life, you're going to have to stop doing something that you're doing that's wrong. I don't know what it is, but God does. And then what you need to do, you need to stop doing it. You need to acquire the Word of God. You need to apply it to your life until you reach perfection status, which you're not going to in the sight of eternity. Until we get to heaven, you're going to make mistakes. And you're going to be wrong. And whatever it is, you've got to stop living your way. You know, by the way, the Bible says that in our eyes, we think we're right. But if you put your life to the Word of God and into that line up, you've got to stop living that way. But in number letter B here, start living God's way. See, this is where the acquiring comes in for both of them. But really it says here, he says, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We will always be striving to know the will of God. We will always be striving to understand and to learn and to grow. So the thing is that salvation, God didn't just save us to go to heaven. God saved us to grow in the Lord. and to understand, okay? He wants you and I to learn more than just John 3:16, which is why even now, that's why I'm such a big proponent of preaching through the Word of God. We are to dissect the Word of God. We're supposed to learn it. So we're not supposed to just shout about the Word of God. We're supposed to actually get in it and learn it. And you and I, to be wise, to walk wise, we have to acquire, we have to continue to grow in the Lord, and we are to know the will of God. Now here it is, ready? I've said it a million times. God's will is found in Scripture. God's will isn't hard to know, because it's the Bible. It can be understood when you can follow it. I've said it before. You know what God's will is? You say, well, who should I marry? I got an answer for you. Ready? Someone who, if you're saved, someone who's saved. That's God's will. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Well, and if you're a man marrying a woman, if you're a woman marrying a man, that's God's will. That's part too. It's pretty simple, right? It's pretty simple. When God's the fact, he's not this hocus pocus, Pretty simple. Like, where should I go to school? Well, in our society now, you better think twice about where you're going, because what doctrine is being preached, okay? Now, I'm not going to get on that today. But you need to think where your kids are going. And if you're an 18-year-old going to college, you need to think about, hey, I'll tell you this, I couldn't make it 4 years at a university college now. I don't think I can make it. Evil is so active. I don't think I can make it. Don't send your kids where there'll be spiritual casualties. And by the way, you don't have to like this. But you wonder where our generation's at now. We send them off to college. To institutions that teach everything but Bible. Man, I know people don't hear that. Like, it's true. What do you expect? Sad. You know why? I got a little soapbox getting my brother Tony and brother Fred. So many people are so upset. Whatever you think. You wonder why anybody, politically not what you want them to be, or where you're sending them to school at. They don't come out conservative. They don't come out conservative. Even aside from a spiritual standpoint. I think that's funny. The percentage of people that come out not conservative. Why? Because they're not what they're propagating. Anyway, that's a soapbox. I'm going to get off of it. The will of God can be easy to understand. Make sure. Even a job. You're going to take that job. I've had pastors tell me this. Their family will come to them and say, should I move to this place? I'll say, well, is there a church around that you can get involved in? Well, no. Well, but I'm making so much more money. What about your spiritual well-being? They go to point number one. Well, I really like this person. Should I marry them? Well, they say, well, no. Well, what's that going to do to your spiritual well-being? When you have kids, what's going to happen to them? See, the will of God is not hard to understand. It's just the Word of God. That's all it is. We are to hear it, we are to understand it, in order to live it out. We are to learn it, not become expert, but to become examples. A wise walk is someone who starts living God's way. A wise walk is an acquiring walk. Meaning, you're going to have to continue to stop living your way and continue to always start living God's way. I'll explain it like this. When I was between my junior and senior year, one of my best friends, David, back home, we worked on a house with his grandpa. His last name is Kimball. We called him Papa Kimball. And he bought a house, remodeling it, gutting it out. We would do a lot of demolition, okay? Now, me and him, we would go there and work with him. Well, then what we did, Brother Darryl, we're both pretty good workers, but I guess together, we would do a job and then not come back immediately. You know what I mean? We wouldn't come back and say, what's next? He's going to keep it around. And he wasn't mad at us. We was, you know, young. And he said, guys, when we get a job done, when you get it done, you come back before I can give you the next job. You know, acquire what you need to do next. We need to come back. See, I'm afraid a lot of us, as Christians, we're saved and we know what we should do part of the time, but then we kind of quit coming back. See, that's what I mean by acquiring. You're not supposed to just know a few things. You're supposed to every day go back to the Word of God, and you're supposed to grow and say, now, what now, God? What now in my life needs to change? What now? What now? Okay, and what now? Oh, okay, that, okay, what, oh man, that really speaks to me. Oh, I really need to do that. What now? We need to be growing. We want to be growing. We want to be acquiring. It's okay, and that's a wise walk. A foolish walk is saying, I got these five things and I don't need no more. No, a wise person said, I'm going to go back to the Word of God each and every day. I'm going to go to church where the Word of God is preached and where I can grow in the Lord because I know that I need it. That's a sign of a wise walk. Let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you growing? That's a wise walk. As we conclude here, a wise walk. Here's the description. A wise walk is one that accurately displays on the outside what's on the inside, and it's consistent. It's consistent. And not up, down, up one day, down the next. It's inconsistent. Inconsistent. By the way, that's one of the things that's really irritating me as a pastor. And it should. Lack of consistency. I'll be honest with you. And every excuse under the sun now. Everything. Everything. I mean, I need to start writing down the excuses. And it's not just one person. It's a large percentage of the church. Consistency. Consistency. And you say, well, why are you jumping on me? Because here's what I know. This is my own opinion. I've said it before. If they're not consistent in coming to church, unless there's some like sickness or something, like something that's really keeping you out, it's hard for me to believe that you're doing anything else spiritually. Now, you can prove me. You can come to me later and say, Brother Will, I skip all these, but I read my Bible every day. My personal opinion, one of the last things to go in your walk spiritually is corporate worship. That's my personal opinion. I don't have Bible to back that up, but I know in my own life, I mean, I come to church every Sunday for the Mark, but I don't always read my Bible every day. You know, so I mean, I don't always pray like I need to. So I just doubt that if you're not coming to church consistently, that you're doing anything else. I doubt you're being the leader you need to be. Now, that's just my personal opinion. I may be totally wrong. That is important. It's not that you're missing church. It's that, spiritually speaking, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you. And bad habits start off by small habits. So consistency. We need to be accurately on the inside, what's on the, or outside, what's on the inside. Number two, actively. We need to be doing it. We need to be not hearers only, but doers. And then we need to be acquiring. We need to be growing in the Lord. That is the wise walk. And Miss Tammy and Miss Brenda come to play. And we stand to our feet with a head bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you, how wise is your walk? And I mean, I know today it's messed with a little hard, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I really care. To be honest with you. I really care. I'm concerned about you spiritually. I hope you're concerned as well. As they begin to play. I mean, I'm concerned about your kids. Because if you're not consistent, parents, if you're not consistent with your walk with God, your kids are probably not going to. And that really breaks my heart. I'm not gonna lie, it scares me. Hey, let's be wise in our walk. Let's be accurate. Let's be active. And let's be acquiring. If God spoke to you, I want to challenge you, hey, this altar is open. The problem is not the altar. The problem is our hearts. Do you care? Do you care spiritually? Do you care about yourself spiritually? Do you ever say, where am I going to be at spiritually 10 years from now if I keep doing this?